Hello, welcome to another edition of Monday Night Crisis, the start of it going weekly again, hopefully. This edition is going to be me talking about one of my favourite games of all time, DC Universe Online, which is an MMORPG set in DC Universe. It started, I can't remember when, I think it's 2011 something, I started doing beta, but it's been going on for a long time now, and it covers a lot of DC Universe, and for my money, it's one of the better DC things out there. While I'm doing this, I'll be doing a stream of it on my DefyBoy85 Twitch account too. But I just wanted to sit and talk about some of the game for a while and some of the levels and some of the intrigue in parts of it, because it is one of my, like I said, one of my favourite games. And also I'll be talking a bit about Elimination Chamber from last week. So it's going to be a kind of combination podcast on that regard. Elimination Chamber is obviously the WWE PPV that was on last weekend. It was very good. I say very good. The Terrified Lifetime match, the Women's Elimination Chamber and main event were all very good. The rest of the show was okay, but it's kind of a bit short. It's like 3 hours, and usually the show is about 4 hours at the moment. So that's kind of a nice change of pace. I don't like it when shows too long. Anyway, back to DC Universe Online. It's a game that's had a bit of controversy to it, you know, but it's still around, which is, I think, kind of rare in this day and age. I know a lot of people for MMORPG stuff like, League of Legends stuff. And I'm sure they're good, you know. I think an MMORPG kind of succeeds or fails based on your interest in subject matter, you know, stuff like Matrix, I would have loved to have played, but I didn't have a high-end computer at that point, or I wasn't really into MMORPGs, but now I'd love to play something like that, but DC kind of catches my fancy a bit more. I was in Marvel Heroes for a while, but it's kind of falling off the wayside a bit, unfortunately it's dying. I was just in Vault, by the way. Vault's a daily section where you get to get free shit. So I'm going to try and doing the Legend versus PV content where you can play as like set characters, which is quite cool. So I'm going to be safe for that. Yeah, so I think the gist is you start off game as one of your mentors. You can start off as either, if you're a good guy, Batman, which is tech, Superman, which is meta, Wonder Woman, which is magic. It's kind of loose. Or you can play as one of villains, in which case it's... Joker for tech, Lex Luthor for meta or metatextual, you know, constructs, because Lex Luthor is the expert in metahuman physiology, or Cersei for magic. It, on cover, it's got Catwoman, because she is big character in Cersei at the time, and it's currently a big character in her anyway. But in the actual game, it's Cersei meant to be third in command. And it creates an interesting dynamic, because there's the Hall of Justice in the game, which is quite a neat construct. The game really goes a long way to using that sort of Brad Meltzer calculator attitude of all heroes and villains are connected. Heroes by Oracle and in the Trinity. And same thing by the villains, the Joker, Lex Luthor, and Cersei. Which is, that's kind of fascinating, because comics can tease that on occasion. I know some of Geoff Johns' comics have really done a good job with that, but they don't do it enough. I mean, I love Geoff Johns whenever he does these big events now. He shows all villains meeting up, and the fact that there's a lot of tension between them, obviously, because they're all capricious individuals. But I just love dynamics, like when you see the Rhodes and how they interact with the Gotham Penguin and Two-Face and all of that, and when Deathstroke and Kid Guerrilla Grodd and stuff like that. It's one of the things I liked about in theory stuff like Justice League and the DC TV shows, like the because you get a sense that villains do interact. Like one of the best parts about Legends of Tomorrow Season 2 was seeing Damon Dark, Malcolm Merlyn, and Eobard Thawne interact, because it's this really cool dynamic, you know? And that's why I think this game does well, because you get the session that there is a combined unity between all villains, which is interesting. I like that stuff. I'd like to see more of it. I think they could really do a good job having a sort of week, a monthly Injustice Secret Society comic, you know? It doesn't even need necessarily be about fighting heroes. It could just be dynamics of it. Sort of like, you sit Joe... It's that Firefly thing where you stick these characters in room together and you can just have them interact, and that's enough to just... You do entire episodes just them interacting. Like, who wouldn't want to see Joker and Lex Luthor interact in a long-term basis, you know? I know, for example, I've had an idea in my head for a long time of doing a comic book... if I've got DC or Marvel, doing comic book where it's the Joker and Constantine going on road trip during the apocalypse, you know? And I think it's fascinating, this idea, and you sit these characters who come from disparate backgrounds together and just see what happens. And I think some writers do a good job of that. I think Scott Snyder and Tom King and Tom Taylor are good at that. And Geoff Johns is exceptional at it. Speaking of, anyone be following up with Doomsday Clock? I really like that comic. I think it's really good, and I really think it's definitely a comic that I'm quite invested in. And I'm wondering if any of that content will factor through into DC Universe Online at some point. I think it, hopefully, that'd be really cool, you know? I mean, DC Universe Online's covering a lot of content, you know? A lot of stuff, and I figure it could be a good sort of thing for at some point. Although they seem finally be getting edging towards the Legion of Super stuff. The next content coming out for this game is Justly Dark, which is a really cool one of my favorite new comic book ideas. Because again, I love the idea of exploring this side of DC Universe and not really explored. There's a lot of weird mythology based monsters like werewolves and stuff like that, and magicians. You got Enchantress, you've got Felix Faust, and it's kind of explored, but it's always sort of a Justice League problem. But I just never get sense that that's really something Justice League can sort out, you know? They're not magically orientated, so I love the idea of having this other group. It's one of the things I like about Geoff Johns' Justice Society of America run, because I think that they were dealing with stuff that Justice League wouldn't necessarily be dealing with constantly. So the level I just did was a level where you play as Safe and you're assisting Flash in dealing with Gorilla Grodd. It's one of the introductory levels, although the part I did for that was a less an introduction level, more when you fully leveled up. But it's one first the earlier begin game versions, one first levels you play in games you play as a metahuman, and it's very cool. It's a good level. It's quite atmospheric. And now I'm doing Legends PV, which is Gotham City Courthouse. And essentially, the nature of these is you're playing content from the actual game, but you're playing its DC characters. So I'm playing its Cheetah, for example. And it gives you more of an appreciation for some of these DC characters you would not think of, because Cheetah is someone who she'll become more known when they do Wonder Woman sequel. Barbara Minerva is obviously an archaeologist. A very good archaeologist in DC Universe, and she's cool because when they introduced her, I don't think they had Flash available as character in this Legends mode. So she's first one to test out super speed, and I think she's a really good character. She's got really quick attacks, which is really awesome. She's getting messed up now, but you know, prior to that, she's doing a good job. And she's good. I mean, you could, hopefully, I don't know if you can hear sound effects in the background, but if you can, that'd be cool. But I really like this game. I think it's a lot of fun. There's a bit of grind to it, but the central nature of it. I mean, it's kind of a two minds thing, because on one hand, it'd be lovely to play as a DC superhero all the way through. But I think one thing that ruined Marvel Heroes, and you know, as main factors that led to that game, is sort of destruction. But one of the things I estimate was probably the fact that you play as the Marvel heroes. A lot of people playing these games won't create their own character and feel like customizable. And no, sometimes it does get ridiculous when you've got whole Justice League and it's sort of like, we're not all Justice League's going to go and fight the bad guys. I mean, in the anniversary content, stuff like the Anti-Monitor one that just went on, and I'll get in detail on that in a bit, you do fight the... as part of the Justice League, but mainly you're just fighting on your own groups. It's like, I won't say stuff Justice League won't handle, but it's stuff that trust you do it. And it makes you feel like part of the universe because you're essentially creating your own character. Or in my case, I created Peter, expert Peter Petrelli from Heroes, which I used to have a character named Death Boy based on the comic book that I created with a guy named Dan Butcher. But yeah, that's long dead at this point. I keep toying with the idea of doing a bit more to it, but I think especially one of the things with comics is you're writing them with people who are, I mean, that's comics, regardless of personal feelings, stuff like that. That comic's as much Dan Butcher's as mine. His art was awesome. And I feel like you can't just throw it out there and do it for someone new, although I might have felt like that in time. So central gist of plot in DC Universe, you should definitely play it, by the way. It's free to play in as much as you can play it free. You'll probably need to level up, get everything from it. But the gist of the game is that Brainiac, who's a Superman villain, he's Superman villain in terms of he's introduced fighting Superman, but he's a galactic-wide threat. Although Superman has been able to kick his ass on his own on occasion, although that might have been less Brainiac and more, what do you call it? Oh, sorry, I'm trying to focus on this. That might have been less Brainiacs and more, you know, Brainiac making robots or shit. I don't know. They tend to retcon love stuff in DC Comics, as you guys are aware. I'm sure you guys remember, and I said I was going to be covering, what do you call it? Legion Freeways. And I did a recap of it, but then I realised that Anchor wasn't recording, because Anchor like stopped recording for some reason, which is really annoying. Like, it's recording this, but just deciding it wasn't going to record any more of that, which is irritating. So I thought I was doing a pretty good job. But I do sometimes wonder about whether I'm allowed to do that sort of podcast thing, because it essentially is just recap. No, and I know it's no visuals and it's just me speaking, but it feels like it could be a bit of a grey area. And I mean, not that this podcast is super listened to anyway, but you know, you've got to show some concern and do process and shit. So yeah, like I say, I'm streaming this, but I'm doing it with no sound because I don't want any echoes or shit like that, which is kind of an excuse. I tend to play this game without in sound, in terms of the audio on the podcast, like with a mic or anything like that. But I don't know what's going on now. But yeah, central thesis of the game, going back to that, it's Brainiac essentially. In future, he takes over Earth. He takes over Earth, and Lex Luthor and Batman team up to send a message back through time that they need to stop Brainiac, which it's Lex Luthor's young one gets back in time, which is suspicious. But it's done with a really awesome cutscene at the start of the game. And then from there, the game starts with Lex Luthor giving F1 Earth X-Bite powers, and that's how you get your powers. Although later on they introduced Green Lantern power set in the game, which is really awesome. That's one I use for my main character, by the way, because I love Green Lantern Corps and I figure that'd be a really cool thing to do. So yeah, you get your X-Bite powers, and then it's about stopping Brainiac. That's the main part of the game, although you deal with the rising Met-Human crisis because there's so many people with powers, although that sort of goes away later on. And then from there, the game starts. The first part of the game, get level 30-ish, is dealing with Brainiac by doing various tasks like the Fortress Solitude, the Batcave to beat Brainiac. And then that culminates in a fight where you fight him in Prime Battleground. And once you've done that, that's like the first part of the game over. And that's a really awesome part of the game. You learn a lot by playing that, and it's quite fun. But then game starts getting really interesting past that point, because once you've dealt with Brainiac, the game starts introducing more and more aspects of DC continuity. Like, you go to Oa, which is an amazing level. Oa is obviously the place where you hang out for the Guardians of the Galaxy. They haven't explored in detail yet. You can sort of go there, but I'm hoping they'll do more content on that at some point. But Oa is a part of the game now, Central City. Coast City, kinda. Because you can't, you have a level in Coast City, but I don't, as far as I can recall, I don't think there's actually the ability to wander around Coast City. Central City you can. Central City is stunning in game. There's two sections of that. There's an earlier section where you're dealing with Paradox Demons and trying to save the timeline. And then there's a later section where you're dealing with Starro. And yes, I'm sure you're wondering, do Starro's in this game? Yes, Starro's in game, and he is amazing. He's really difficult to face, but you get a couple of raids dealing with that. But in terms of what game encompasses, it's very little of DC that doesn't have in some way. I mean, Mongol isn't in there yet. The Legion aren't yet completely. Although Mordu is going to be... He's a wizard who fights... He's just starting bad guy and a Legion bad guy. Mordu's going to come into play because they're doing a Just League Dark expansion pack soon. They've just done one for Atlantis, which is really cool. I guess Just the Dark One's going to loosely tie into the Shazam movie. Or Captain Shazam, yep. Which is really cool. There's a lot of movie-themed tie-ins, like, coming now. But it's kind of cool, really. Because the movies are veering away from Batman vs Superman, the content feels fresh. Like, we just got an awesome downloadable content for Atlantis. Which, Atlantis is stunning in-game. Really, really stunning, which is really just makes me smile because they do such a good job with it and they have reverence for it. And it's not exactly like the movie version, although I don't know if any of you guys saw Aquaman, I thought it's a wonderful movie. So that's cool. Just like you fight Darkseid at one point, who I haven't been able to beat yet. One thing you'll find about this game is, like, I'm level 257, so in theory you think, oh, you can mainline all of this content. But stuff like Darkseid's rock hard. It's fascinating, really, because you think that it's going to... You level up and do everything with ease, but you can't, because especially the elite raids like Darkseid and stuff like that. It's just rock hard to do. I'll probably be doing more of this stuff. I might do a bit more of podcast on this because I like playing games, and I figure if I can combine this stuff. So my stream channel is DeffyBoy85, by the way, if you guys want to come watch me play games occasionally. Occasionally I play a lot of video games, but I have I've got a multitask. I can't just do one thing. What's my favourite part about this game? I love the Legends PV content, you know. I mean, I know some people don't, and it's a bit frustrating sometimes that you're stuck limited power sets and stuff like that. The levels are a lot harder, so you're not levelling up these Legends PV characters specifically, but I just love playing them, and it's a really cool thing to do. It adds a bit of context to the game, and it's also does the best of both ways thing, whereby you're getting this awesome legend stuff which you play as, but it's not dominating the whole game, which was Marvel Heroes problem. Although I really love Marvel Heroes, I remember playing it a lot with my big bro, and that was awesome because we used to play as all characters, and I actually got him Black Panther like 3 weeks or so, and Blade 3 weeks or so before it shut down, so that's annoying. And just sheer range characters, like, you can play a Saint Walker in this. Although I say sheer range characters, it's kind of frustrating in some ways because there's lots of characters they've left out who it's bizarre that they would. Like, you can't play as Aquaman in this yet, which seems strange, you know. You think it'd be an ease character, and also it's kind of annoying because the base characters in game have only 5 or so attacks and they spam, but they're not all in the Legends mode, you know. And also Legends PvE or PvP rather, it sort of died to death a bit, which is frustrating because that's mostly where you earn new characters. So anyway, level I'm playing is the South Gotham Courthouse level, which is a level where you're still dealing with Brainiac. You're dealing with his the judge you got to, the bitter monk moment is I got to defeat prosecutor and defense attorney, who are like the prosecutor and defense attorney's brainiac. So it's a really cool level. It's really lots of interesting things, which I imagine, was hoping DC would throw into the actual continuity property, like comics and stuff like that. Because the idea of the Brainiac having defense attorney and prosecutor, like the idea of Brainiac, I'm sure he must have at some point, but it seems strange to me that he hasn't, as far as I know, created his own society yet. You think he would, you know? Or something like that. I mean, this game has lots of things they could throw into core DC continuity. So I think hopefully they work at some point, but who knows. So I, like I say, I used to have multiple characters, and now I've got loads, but I really only play as one. I mean, I could play more villain stuff, but I get the impression there's not a lot of villains left on this game anyway anymore. Just a shame. They used to have more of a divide between villain stuff and hero stuff, but I think they've kind of stopped that. Anyway, let's talk about Elimination Chamber for a week. I thought the opening match and the kickoff show match between Tozawa and Bo Murphy, I thought was really good. Not quite as high as the previous standards of some of them. I think losing Ali to SmackDown's hurt them a bit. And also, I think losing Itami. I'm not trying to be rude to anyone, but I mean, F1 saying he wasn't up standard, he's awesome. Like, it's one thing that annoys me, because I think someone like Tommy would be perfect on Raw or SmackDown. He does have win weird title, but it's one thing I love about Dan Burch. When Dan Burch is in ring, and same for Tommy, you know you're going to get a fight. It might not be a classic match, but it's convincing. It's that thingly regal thing of they look like they're actually trying to fight, which is fascinating, you know? And that's someone needs on roster, surely. But they don't seem to agree, because he's been released now, which is weird. I mean, he asked for it, because they weren't doing anything for him. He would have been perfect on SmackDown. Indeed, in one of my streams in the WWE 2K19, I'm doing the stream, I'm actually trying to push Danny Burch and Hideo Itami. You know, I want Hideo Itami in that game to get more of a push, because I think he's fucking great, to be honest. I'm a big fan of Hideo Itami. And sorry I swore there, but I really do think he's a good wrestler, and I was hoping that he'd get more of a push. So that's a good match between Tozawa and Mo Murphy, is my point I was getting at. Then we got the Women's Elimination Chamber, the tag team one. And I really liked it. I thought it was a good match. I mean, I know some people didn't, and there's the fact that, to a degree, these sort of matches are always going to be slightly awkward because they're not used to them, and, you know, everything, and some of these teams aren't used to tag wrestling. But I thought it's great. I'm a huge fan of the end part with Mandy Rose, Sonya, the Sasha Banks and Bayley, because I think Sasha, I don't think she's great in terms of, like, she's modelled after Eddie Guerrero, and I think, I don't want to be nasty, you know, but there literally is only one Eddie Guerrero, you know, and there's a, so you can't take his place, I guess, for lack of a better word. And I think even Sasha would hopefully agree that she's not Eddie Guerrero, but she's good. I mean, she's very good. Her Bayley, amazing chemistry in ring together. That Banks statement, Batstabber. No, the Bayley suplex into a Batstabber. That was awesome. That's a killer near fall. So, yeah, and I thought Mandy Rose and Sonya V did a good job. And I like Tamina and Nia Jax, to be honest. I think they're a good team. I mean, but it goes back to something I like WCW, and a lot of people didn't. They had this attitude of, like, Barbarian and Meng weren't good tag team. I was like, why? They're awesome. You know? Really good tag team. You need that big man tag team. Or in this case, big woman. Not necessarily for great matches, but it creates a new dynamic, because most of the female wrestlers in WWE are in amazing shape. They're very slight, very slender. And I think you do need different types of wrestlers. Like, Ember Moon doesn't wrestle like Asuka, who doesn't wrestle like Nia Jax, who doesn't wrestle like Tamina. And people say things sort of like, what about Tamina's splash and statement and all of that? But I'm like, well, it looks more devastating this way. And it's one of the things I like about Sasha, actually. She's a tad sloppy, but in some ways it's more in-ring, but in some ways it's more realistic. And I thought the end section's really good. I can understand what they're doing in the show because, you know, when we got to that last match with them, and it boiled down to Kofi and Daniel Bryan, and the crowd was losing their shit. And I thought it's one of the best booked things I've seen in ages. It reminds me of John Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas, what you call it, NXT's Philadelphia 2018. Because it felt like you literally couldn't see it going any other way than Gargano or Kofi winning. And they didn't. That didn't detract from the match. That just made me think they made something masterful. Because Kofi and Johnny Gargano, neither one of them lost anything by losing. They gained something. Like, Kofi's near falls, oh man. The crowd bought them so much. But I thought it was a really good match. And probably one of the best end segments I've seen ages. And it really did exemplify that Daniel Bryan is one of the most selfless human beings in terms of wrestling I've ever seen. Because he gave Kofi, he literally bent over backwards to make Kofi look like a star. And I generally get the impression that for all Daniel Bryan's talk of wanting to be best and all of that, he'd have absolutely no problem losing Kofi. And I think there's a good chance he'll lose at Fastlane. Because I don't think Daniel Bryan... I mean, he obviously in wrestling you do want to be best and all of that. But he gave Kofi so much. And he did it so unselfishly. I mean, I think it's fair to say I love Daniel Bryan. I think he's an amazing wrestler. And the fact he's back and the fact he's killing it like this... Oh man, it warms my frigging heart. It really does. Anyway, we're gonna add some music. We're gonna add some sound to the chat, guys. I'm gonna speak on the stream as well if I can get this play headset set up. Oh, so we have sound. Do we have sound? I don't know. So bear with me, I'll just go. So yeah, this is my thoughts on him. So yeah, we have microphone on the stream now. Hello guys. So, yeah, I like Elimination Chamber is really good. I was very happy to see John Gargano and Ciampa go on SmackDown. They're on Aleister Black, Ricochet, John Gargano, and Ciampa on all four shows. I know some people are angry and that it's kind of irritating, I guess, because it ruins the NXT storyline. But honestly, like, it's two things about that. One, NXT's not... I don't even watch NXT Week. I just watch main shows. And two, shouldn't you be happy that your, like, guys are on the big show in front of millions of people? Like, I mean, they've literally jumped up viewership by hundreds and hundreds of times. But anyway, so I hope you guys are enjoying this DCU verse chat. I'm recording the podcast at the same time as I'm doing this stream. Because this is really, as I say, one of my favourite games. And plays Cheetah. Cheetah's awesome. So I think there's a bright future to the game. Yep, so this is the end. I'm going to wrap up the podcast here. Hope this was a bit of a look into how DC Universe Online works. And I will see you guys next week, and I'll hopefully be doing more of a podcast for you next week. Anyway, this is Ian Austin signing off.